News Radio 890-925 and 106.1 KDXU. This is Southern U Talk. I'm Dale Desmond. Good Friday morning, everybody. Hope you're doing good. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Get ready for the weekend. A lot of weather come through. We got a little rain this last weekend here in the last couple days in St. George. Hopefully, if you're heading to the mountains, you're being safe. All right, let's jump. Let's go talk to our good friend, the voice of the BYU Cougars, Greg Wrubell, on the phone. Greg, how are you, brother? Good to talk to you.
Dale, I'm really well. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get right into it. We're getting into Big 12 play here. Already a couple of games down, and they were, Kansas State was a little bit of a trial. Arizona State, not so much. But as we get into Big 12 play with BYU Cougars basketball, Greg, we're looking pretty good so far, just kind of cutting through the competition.
Yeah, BYU led by 38 last night, Wednesday night against Arizona State before winning by 28. So that was a pretty comprehensive demolition of the Sun Devils. The K-State game, yeah, you know, maybe I'm getting greedy. It was a 10-point win that could have been won by more. BYU had 19 turnovers in the game, not the most efficient game. But you know what? Ultimately, the more I look back at it, if you can win a Big 12 road game by double digits, you take it and run with it. And I shouldn't be too particular about the style points, because a conference win by 10 points is very valuable. It was a quad one win for BYU. So really, in hindsight, no complaints about what they did in Manhattan. And then against Arizona State, just absolutely showed their class and did it, Dale, without Kaba Keita.
Right. That's a huge thing.
That's a starting center and a really impactful player. And Arizona State's one of the longer teams you're going to see in the Big 12. So for BYU to not have Kaba Keita and still get done what they got done, kudos to Beto, Abdullah Ahmed, and for Hadeem Boop for coming in and playing good minutes at the five. To do what they did against Arizona State without a starter was really impressive.
It really was. And looking at you know, going into this middle part of the season, just exactly the depth of the roster. I mean, you obviously got the starters that are doing well, but talk about the depth of the bench and how they're coming off and putting in strong minutes through this the middle part of the season.
Yeah, clearly this is one of the most starter-centric teams we've ever seen at BYU. I mean, the big three kind of speak for themselves. Then you get Kennard Davis Jr. and Kaba Keita to wrap up your starting five, and BYU's really dependent on that group. They don't need a ton, but they need just enough from the bench. And against Arizona State, they got 20-plus bench points, and that will get the job done most nights in the Big 12. And, in fact, I would say between like 12 and 18 points a night from the BYU bench is really all you're going to need. Abdullah Ahmed, they call him Beto, he's a big addition to the BYU bench. I think between him and Boop, you can kind of shore up the backup spot at the five. Allows Mihailo Boskovic to play more at the four, and he's a really good shooter at the four. The backup guard situation, kind of a work in progress, Dale. And I think maybe Tyler Maruss is the guy that's, taken most of the bull by the horns on that one. Alexei Kostic hasn't done maybe as much as they would hoped he would do. Tyler's had his moments and has made good use of his minutes when called upon. Dominique Diomande is kind of a wild card wing as well. So you throw all those guys together and you're probably going to get enough to get the job done in the Big 12. They can just find, again, 12 to 18 points a night. That really should be sufficient, because the big three are so dominant. Against Arizona State, they scored 81 points. That's the most they've scored as a trio this season, and one of the top 10 three-player performances in BYU basketball history.
Yeah, we've got, I don't want to say bottom dwellers, but, Arizona State's near the bottom. The Utes we've taken on tomorrow night, they're at the bottom. Kansas State down there, but we still have the big guns for the coming up this season. I mean, there are four in the top 10, and what was there, five, six in the top 25 in the Big 12 that we're going to have some heavy work to do, some heavy lifting here this season.
It's a really deep Big 12, but the fact is, of these first four games for BYU in league, they're all against bottom half teams in the net. All right. So K-State, still a good net of 65, but that's in the bottom eight. Arizona State net 97. That's in the bottom eight. Utah's 144. That's the worst net in the Big 12. And TCU even though the net is really good at 43, that's still bottom half in the Big 12. That's how good the league is. And so the first four games are kind of games you have to win. You know, if you're taking on bottom half teams in the Big 12, you kind of have to take care of those. And I really do think that the top half, every team in the top half can be an NCAA tournament team. That's a minimum of eight teams out of the Big 12 going to the NCAA tournament. That would stop right now with Baylor. Baylor would be your cut line. But TCU is going to be on the bubble, I think, all season. They've proven to be a really capable team.
Yeah.
Could have beaten Michigan, should have beaten Kansas. So TCU is a scary team. And again, even though they're ninth in net, they're ninth at a 43. 43 is a really impressive net, showing the depth of the Big 12. But you're right, heavy hitters are going to come later, and they're going to come quick. Texas Tech and Arizona, BYU, see them twice in a span of 3 days here later this month.
So I grew up in Western New York before moving out west. I'm a big Buffalo Bills fan, and everybody's like, boy, this is the Bills' year. You've got no Mahomes, no Lamar, no Burrow. You should, but it's all replaced by somebody else. I feel like it's the same way in the Big 12. You know, you've got the Kansas Jayhawks down there, struggling this year. You've got Oklahoma State struggling this year. Baylor struggling this year. They've won all national championships, but it's all replaced with Arizona and Iowa State. You know, Houston's, right there. Colorado even looking really formidable. I just feel like there's no rest for the righteous, and the wicked don't deserve any. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. And it is kind of interesting to see a changing of the guard, right?
Yeah.
In the Big 12. I mean, Kansas, it's funny. For all those years, BYU was in the WCC, Gonzaga was the behemoth you could not beat. And the equivalent to Gonzaga in the WCC was Kansas in the Big 12.
Right.
It was always Kansas, every year Kansas, the team that nobody could knock off the perch. But things have changed. Kansas may still be a decent team. Their net is 17. That's no slouch right there. And maybe the TCU wins the shot in the arm that team needed. But, yeah, you've seen Kansas in the last couple three seasons, drop off that perch. And teams, clearly, the addition of Arizona from the Pac-12 is the best new ad from that conference, and they've proven to be as good as any team in the Big 12 since they joined. Arizona, Iowa State, Houston, BYU all sit in front of Kansas right now in the pecking order, and that's a big departure from even just a few years ago.
Yeah, so you've got some big games on the horizon. You mentioned we're playing Utah, who is the absolute bottom of the Big 12. We're looking at them tomorrow. They're going to face them twice this month. But you got TCU, Texas Tech, before the big showdown with Arizona and Kansas back to back, a Monday Saturday thing at the end of the month. How hard is it to keep the team from looking ahead to those big games when you're instead of looking past? I mean, Utah's going to be. I mean, it's a rivalry game. I don't care what the records say. How do we keep them from looking ahead at Arizona and Texas Tech and Kansas coming up?
Well, you alluded to the last week of the month, which I think is a really key stage of BYU's season, because they'll play Utah for the second time, by the way, the second time in 2 weeks,
right,
on the 24th. Then comes the really unique part of the schedule, Dale, because they've got the big Monday game, their first big Monday game against Arizona on the 26th. Well, what happens there? No Sunday practice. So you go from a Saturday game against a rival in Utah. Now, granted, it's an afternoon game, so you get a bit more rest, but an afternoon game against Utah at home on the 24th, no work on Sunday, and you come back 48 hours later with Arizona on a Monday night. That's a tough task, to rival from rivalry game to the number one team in the conference without a day of practice.
And the number two, number one team in the country.
Right, and the number one team in the country. They may still be undefeated at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's a 2 games in 3 days swing with nothing in between. And then at the end of that week, you do have Kansas on the road at Allen Fieldhouse. So rivalry game, number one team in the country, and going to the Fog, all in the space of 7, will tell us a lot about this BYU team. And I think, to your question, you can't look ahead. You're really the only team with a subpar profile right now is Utah. And yet you mitigate that with the fact it's a rivalry game and a team, Dale, that has beaten BYU in 5 of the last 7 games in Salt Lake City. All right. So even some subpar Utah teams have had BYU's number on the hill. And so the Cougs have lost 2 in a row in Salt Lake, 3 out of 4 in Salt Lake, 5 out of 7 in Salt Lake. So how do you look past that? You can't.
Yeah, you can't.
And then any other team in the Big 12 deserves the utmost respect. So it's just the murderer's row from 1 through 18. There are no off nights in the Big 12.
Yeah. No, I'm sure there is going to be lots of discussion about that. As I'm looking at Arizona's schedule, they've got, I don't want to say fluff and, you know, St. Mary's of the Deaf and Blind, but it's pretty low before they get to be. They're playing one ranked team before they face BYU there at the end of the month. So they've got several games here that are going to be, their starters probably get some rest. Second, their bench going to get some more work for Tommy Lloyd's team. You might as well be playing Gonzaga when you're playing Tommy Lloyd's team, spending a lot of time there backing up Mark Few. So got some big games coming up in the next few weeks. We're looking forward to those. He's Greg Wrubell, the voice of the BYU Cougars, and something else you know a lot about. Let's jump to the football team as we've got a big shakeup going on. With Kyle Whittingham leaving at Utah, saying he's going to retire. What do you make of that? Him saying he's going to retire, was that a plan all along? Or was he really getting his golf clubs out and then Michigan came out and made a play? Or do you think that was something that was going to happen all along?
You know, I think Kyle had more gas in the tank than Utah was willing to, you know, to maybe settle with. The sense I get is that he said, you know what, I still feel I can do this thing for a while longer. And I think they were maybe anxious to move on to their coach in waiting situation with Morgan Scalley. And I don't know that they were as enthusiastic about Kyle, you know, about extending his tenure. And I think he simply read the tea leaves and said, I'm out. And he knew that he'd still be a valuable commodity.
Yeah.
And I think Utah had to know they were risking something by letting him go early, if you will. And so I think it turned out exactly the way you might expect it would. If the name Kyle Whittingham is
available
out on the job market,
yeah,
and you're a school like Michigan looking to restore some discipline and accountability and success to that program, why wouldn't you go there? The timing was such that I think Kyle was seeing that could be a possibility too. And, you know, for Utah, for whatever reason, you know, didn't want to, you know, leave the blank check for Kyle for as many years as maybe he wanted. And clearly by signing a 5-year deal with Michigan, he felt he at least, you know, that many good years left in him. And I don't think Utah is willing to commit to that many. That's just my outsider read on the situation.
Yeah.
But no surprise at all that he would end up at a strong program and hit the ground running as he has.
So let's talk about the fallout and the effect on the Cougars, you know, with their coaching staff. How do you think that's going to shake out, and will the Cougs be able to, you know, keep going, not miss a step, or is there going to be some fallback? What do you think?
Yeah, it's felt about as smooth a transition as you could have, Dale. I mean, you elevate Kelly Papinga, who was your defensive ends coach and special teams coordinator, to defensive coordinator. He certainly deserves that promotion. You bring in DeMario Warren to handle the cornerback spot that Gennaro Guilford vacated. And ultimately, it is still Kalani's defense. And so, Jay Hill, great coordinator. Unbelievable reputation, deservedly so. You know, helped BYU in a 3-year span go from kind of a bottom dweller defensively to one of the top teams in the country. But you know, Kalani's, that's still, you know, his plan being executed. And so I think with K-Pop, Coach Papinga, it's pretty seamless. To bring him in and elevate him to the defensive coordinator role. And really not a lot else changes. You elevate Sione Pouha to associate head coach, the title that Jay had. You bring in Coach Warren. So you lose just really, you know, you lose coaches technically, but you have to win right now for the time being with the special teams coordinator still to be named. And then player wise, which I think is the big news. Player wise, nobody you're really counting on has hit the portal.
Yeah, that's my next question.
Yeah, and there have been some nice portal additions and so many returning players recommitting for the 2026 season. So I think they have the second or third fewest portal entries in the Big 12, and they retain most of the coaching staff. It's tough to not feel that BYU cannot skip much of a beat in going into 2026. Texas Tech is still going to be a beast. They're going to spend again. They're going to get great talent again. But I won't be surprised if we're targeting a Texas Tech BYU rematch in Arlington next December.
Let's talk about that. Looking ahead to the schedule, we've got some marquee games. Going to be playing Notre Dame next year. That's fun. How does that play into You know, what's the feeling? I've never been to a BYU game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. I'm sorry, I've never been to a Notre Dame game at BYU at Lavelle Edwards. How is that different from other other teams that come in?
Well, you know, I mean, the largest crowd I still in BYU history was a Notre Dame visit back in the early 2000s, and so you know it'll be it'll be a sellout and then some. It's a special game wherever you play it. Games in South Bend are one of my most treasured experiences as a broadcaster, but bringing them into your place means you get a seventh home game, Dale. That's the big, that's the headline from the schedule in 2026. Seven chances at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And you know how that stadium has gotten in terms of a reputation of being a formidable place to play. And so the fact you get seven games there, just five away games, it couldn't break any better. You get, a marquee game in Notre Dame. What a tremendous 2026 slate BYU's drummed up to give themselves all the heft they need to show that if they end up as a one or two loss team again, you know, could you possibly keep them out of the playoffs again? It's hard to think about the fact you've gone 24-3 over two seasons and really didn't sniff the playoff. Hopefully that flips in 2026. The Cougs can find themselves into that playoff. I'd love to see an expanded field, of course, to 16 or 24 teams. Then you're almost guaranteeing a good BYU team is going to be in that mix. Certainly a one-loss team gets you in, and probably a two-loss team gets you in with an expanded field.
Yeah, we've got Utah Tech. We'll be up there for that game. And hey, last time Trailblazers played there, we gave them a game for first half. It was
neck and neck for just a little bit there. We did pretty well.
And I like the Utah Tech game as a game that we might see on the schedule, hopefully on a regular basis. I like it.
Yeah. All right, he's Greg Rebel, the voice of the BYU Cougars. Thank you for spending a couple of minutes with us going over everything Big 12 basketball, of course, looking ahead to next football season. I'm cautiously hoping that Bear sticks around, that he doesn't hit the portal, that he'll be here.
He committed. He's back in 2026.
Yeah, well, commitment doesn't always mean what it used to mean.
I believe him and I trust him. I think he's going to be back in the mix. I think BYU's not going to lose him.
All right, you would know. He's Greg Rebel, voice of the BYU Cougars. We have our game tomorrow night against Utah. We can't look past that one, as you mentioned. They've got a tough schedule up there. It's in Salt Lake, 8 o'clock tip-off here on KDXU. Greg, thanks for your time, buddy.
You bet. Anytime. Try your best. Try everything you can.
KDXU News Time is 9:29. Good Friday morning. This is Southern U Talk. With me, Dale Desmond, we've got Mello Finlinson for her Friday visit. Good morning, Mello. How are you, sis?
Good morning. Doing good, thanks.
Good. This is the Neon Trees. They are coming to the fair, just announced this week. The Washington County Fair going to have the Neon Trees. Not a big, I think they're going to have a country act, as they call it, whether it's a band, whether it's a solo artist, I don't know. But they're kind of moving away from doing a lot of country, and they said they've gotten a lot of, I don't say complaints, but certainly some a push to get more mainstream artists on fairs. The thing is though, that I think a lot of mainstream artists look at county fairs as like, what are we in? Country music? What is this?
Right. You know, or maybe, I mean, we're not as cool as we once were.
Exactly.
That's what I think of.
Exactly. I think you go to county fairs, unless it's a big state fair, like the Washington State Fair in Puyallup is a huge deal. And those guys get big names, Keith Urban and Tim McGraw and all those guys. But Susie put a list out. She ran some ideas by me and said, who of these artists, they were all country artists, I believe, in the email that she sent me. But she said they possibly have somebody else coming, a country artist, to the Washington State Fair. We'll have Susie on as we get closer to it and chat about some of the cool stuff coming in the fair. But not a mainstream country act, maybe a secondary country act. But I will say that it'll probably be Sawyer Brown. I got a friend that says Sawyer Brown is the Utah house band.
That's funny, but mean. Yeah.
It's they're playing it somewhere in Utah all the time.
Yeah.
It's Sawyer Brown. I got a funny story. I introduced Sawyer Brown once on stage. I did country radio for a long, long time, and I got. You ever seen Sawyer Brown live?
No.
Okay. You must not have lived in Utah that long, because they're always here. I'm kidding. And I had, we introduced Little Texas first, Little Texas opened, and then Sawyer Brown was the headliner. Mm-hmm. And I went out on stage, and I said, hey, guys, be sure and stop by the merch table, blah, blah, blah. You say all your announcements. And then I said, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. And I almost said Diamond Rio.
Oh, no.
I almost said Diamond Rio. I told Dan Truman this story, and he laughed. He laughed himself silly. Dan Truman, of course, from St. George, from Diamond Rio, a member of Diamond Rio. I said it like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I had Sawyer Brown. And I literally had Diamond Rio on the tip of my tongue, and I almost introduced Sawyer Brown as Diamond Rio on stage in front of thousands of people.
Wow, nice save.
It's like today it gives me indigestion. Let's pivot, Mel. Mello, let's pivot. I want to talk about something you sent me yesterday. Mm-hmm. This is a cool app. Now, they say there's an app for everything. Mello, tell me about the Pizza DC app, where you can track what the federal government is doing, sort of.
Right. So my ex-husband is military. He works, I think it's called Northcom in Colorado Springs. He's a colonel. And
oh.
Yes, and he was telling me the other day that there's a website called Pentagon Pizza Index. And if you want to go to it, it's pretty fun. It's PIZZINT.watch. And what they do is they track the pizza places around the D.C. area to see when they're a little busier at different times, like sometimes in the evening, sometimes in the middle of the day, a big influx. And that has been a predictor of big things happening.
I love the cursor. The cursor is a... When you log onto a computer, the cursor is a slice of pizza.
That's so cute.
That
I didn't
is
even
fun.
Catch that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other day I actually went on, and around 3 p.m. it was like going crazy. And he said, hey, there's something coming, but I can't tell you what.
Ooh.
So I don't know what it is. And then there's also a little thing across the top that slides.
A little ticker. Yeah.
A little ticker. Thank you. And it talks about different things that are going on, like with Iran and just different posts that
Venezuela,
are posted.
Venezuela. Right. Mm-hmm. All the different things. Will Israel strike Gaza on, what's the chances?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all based off of the metric of how much pizza is being delivered to government
yes.
buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I understand. Like I it's a hard, it's a little challenging for me to understand this website because there's a lot of numbers and
wow.
and fun stuff like that. But
there's
yes.
a map. There's a map on here. And now they have a DEFCON. They have a pizza DEFCON
yes.
Rating on here.
Yeah, and it's 4. He said the other, like last week it was like 3.
Yeah.
So he said it's gone up. So there's something coming.
Yeah, and it's they track how things are looking with all the different, the polypulse is what they call it, with the different countries they've got. This is awesome.
It's a great website.
This is so awesome. Well, yeah, it's showing you the volume of pizza for the different places. And you can look around and be like, okay, if there's a lot of Domino's that's delivering a ton of pizzas late in the day
mm-hmm.
to the different places.
Yeah.
We the pizza, all these different places, then they're like, something's happening. Look at this one. Look at all this pizza delivered by Papa John's 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
yesterday.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Your colonel ex-husband
yes.
is onto something.
He is onto something.
He's working for NORAD or something. Is he tracking Santa Claus still? Is that what they're doing?
I think they're done with Santa. They've moved on to bigger things.
Is it like NORAD? That. Is that what he works for? Are you allowed to say that?
I can't remember because okay. it's not my current husband, so I don't know exactly where he works.
I don't have a hotline anymore. We're not exactly on go. I mean, at least you're talking enough for
yeah.
him to share this with
no,
you.
No, we're still friends.
That's good.
And we have a daughter that recently moved in with him, so we have lots to talk about. Yes. Yes.
Now, this is awesome. Again, it is PIZZINT.watch. It's Pete's Int. P P-I-Z-Z-I-N-T dot watch. This is perfect for like the, what do you call it, the conspiracy theorist.
Yes, and also back, it goes back to 1970s. It talks about, so it's been around for a while.
Yeah, and they can go and track things.
And it also, I read a little bit on here, and the reason it's called INT is because something with Russia. Their intelligence used this to kind of track what was going on, and then they took that and ran with it, and I love it.
This is how the KGB would track, as they were hiding out in D.C., they would track during the Cold War how and what was being developing inside of the Pentagon, inside of the Department of Defense and all that, mm-hmm. what was going on inside there thanks to the Russians.
Yeah, so thank you, Russia.
That's...
Yeah. Now we can go in with our conspiracies and double-check and see
now
if
we can,
right.
Right. We can, and you can actually go back through the 90s, through the 80s, through the 70s, mm-hmm. and actually look side by side at all these, as the pizzas were delivered. I just wonder, like, as time goes on, can we get this with Starbucks? You know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder if Starbucks has the same typical thing where you, they've got pizza, but I would think that if a bunch of Starbucks is being delivered, and what's keeping the Russians from poisoning this pizza?
Oh, I didn't think about that. Don't give them any ideas.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Don't listen to me. I'm not one of them anyway.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was very interesting. I'd never heard of that website before, so I thought I'd share that with you.
We got another one that you shared with me yesterday that is more local that I think is interesting. Interesting and fun.
My favorite. That,
this reminds me, if anybody remembers, back in the 80s, there was, when I was in school, when I was a, elementary, middle school, more, there were things called slam books. Now, I grew up on the East Coast. I moved out west when I was 13. And you move from different cultures. Even in America, you realize, like, I was like this. I was in suburban New York, western New York, not New York City, but still pretty much a city kid. Certainly, I moved to this little one traffic light farm town. Mellow. I came in wearing like MC Hammer pants.
I know what you're talking about.
You can see it. You get a purple, loud purple shirt, yeah. Big puffy
muscle
pants.
Shirt.
The whole, like, the, it was just, I was straight little Vanilla Ice in 1991 when I moved.
No.
And all these, country kids. I mean, my graduating class, we had like 90 some kids in it. It was a small school. They're all like, did you just get off an alien ship? Like, what is happening? But the point is that with all of these, when I was in middle school in New York and middle school in Washington State, rural Washington State, slam books were a thing. I don't know how, before the days of the internet, mm-hmm. these things got so, widely spread, but slam books were a thing, and they were basically, if anybody remembers slam books, you can text in. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on this. 435-261-4540. They're basically a spiral notebook that you would write somebody's name in, and you'd pass it around like a note in English class, and people would write something awful in there. And you hoped that your name would not pop up in the slam book. And if it did, you hoped you wouldn't see it.
No. Like, they have a page dedicated to you?
If not a page, hopefully just a section. If you got a page, forget it. Just move to a different school.
Shoot. That's terrible.
It was awful.
We never had one of those.
So awful. And they were never anything good. It was always bad stuff. So if you weren't in there, it meant you were a great person. But this thing you shared with me is kind of like a slam book for neighborhoods.
It's amazing.
What's it called? What's the web?
It's called hoodmaps.com, hoodmaps.com.
Okay.
And it's all over the U.S., so you can check out a lot of cities, and you can add to it, like he says, like a slam book.
Yep.
So if you go to St. George, there's one section of town, and it's labeled Yet Another Mormon Temple.
Yep.
Or there's another area of town called Mega Mansions.
Which is Washington Fields, I'm guessing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, I knew it.
Yep.
I need a bell in here. I need one of those bing.
Oh, you do. You
bells.
Should add one of those on
I
your
need
thing.
To get that on, yeah.
This one I don't know about. It's called the the druggy school, but they didn't spell druggy correctly.
And it looks like it's somewhere, is it like
Tonequin? They say by Hidden Valley. So I don't think that's true, isn't it?
Hidden Valley?
Hidden Valley Road.
Yeah, out there by Hidden Valley. And they spelled druggy wrong anyway.
Yeah, they didn't even spell it correctly. Mm. And there's another spot where it talks about soccer moms. Isn't that mean?
That's got to be Little Valley.
Little Valley, yeah. That one's actually, that one's over, off of River Road. Yeah, Little Valley.
Okay.
So, yeah, just kind of fun stuff. And look up your own hometown, maybe, and see if it's true.
Your neighborhood. I think, what is Bloomington? Isn't Bloomington say old people, I think?
I think it does. I'm trying to find it. My map on my phone is really small.
I would think, it's funny, when I moved here 8 years ago, we lived over in Green Valley, and everyone's like, oh.
Oh, you're in Green Valley.
That's where that's what it used to be.
Yeah.
But people my age are like, oh, my grandparents live in Green Valley. We all live in Little Valley. You should live in Little Valley. That's where the cool kids live. Keep people with families live in Little Valley. If you're old, you live in Green Valley now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I like my house. It's close to the radio station. This is great.
Yeah. And then there's one retired, Sun River. Okay. So anyway.
That's of course. I can't believe it. Desert Colors on there. I'm interested to see what label. But this kind of sounds like a slam book, doesn't it?
It kind of does,
This is like. But you can zoom out and you can go to any.
You can type in any city.
Any city.
Yeah.
You can go to any city. You can go to Salt Lake. You can go to Cedar. You could go, literally in Vegas. I'm interested. Where are you going now?
I'm going to Idaho Falls.
Oh,
because you're from Idaho
Falls,
right?
I spend time, and a lot of people from Southern Utah have lived in Idaho Falls.
Yeah, there's rich areas. These ones, this one doesn't have all the tags like we do. So maybe people in Idaho Falls don't know about this map yet.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the slam book map won't get passed around. We got a text. You can text in 435-261-4540. Love to hear your thoughts on just about anything we're talking about. It's open phone Friday. I got a text that says they probably spelled druggy wrong because they're a druggy. You think?
Yeah, it takes a druggy to know one,
you
right?
You think? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying right there. All I'm saying is this sounds like a slam book for your, for neighborhoods. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
All right, news time is 9:43 here on KDXU. I'm Dale Desmond. That's Mello Finlinson. Coming back, I'm going to jump into the ICE shootings a little bit if we want to talk about that. I've also got something a little lighter that I thought was interesting. I wanted to pass along. You can name a cockroach your ex after a cockroach at a zoo. We'll talk about it in about 3 or 4 minutes here. KDXU News Time, 9:44. All right, 9:47 here at Southern U Talk. I'm Dale Desmond. That's Mello Finlinson on our Friday visit.
Good morning.
How are you feeling?
Really good.
You have plans for weekend? What are you doing?
I think I'm going to go hot tubbing with my friend.
What?
Yeah.
You've got two and a half days, Mello. Are you going to be hot tubbing for 2.5 days?
No, just one day. I've got a lot of work to do at my house.
All right.
Decluttering.
That sounds terrible.
That's not going to be fun. I led with the fun thing.
Awful. We were just talking about this hoodmaps.com website. This is awful and funny and really awful. We went through Salt Lake. We're just looking through Salt Lake and look. I'm going to let you guys look at some of this because
you can't read it all on
there. I can't. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I will say that some of these are just hilarious. Like, there's a part of South Salt Lake they call Fake Chinatown. Draper they call rich people, and then they call still some horse properties around.
So we pretend we have money.
South Jordan, we pretend we have money. Riverton is big trucks. Lehigh is really big trucks around the point of the mountain. It's hilarious. Yeah. Hoodmaps.com. Go check it out. It's read at your own discretion. Just want to put that out there. Let's jump to this, Mello. We are about a month. A little over about a month and a half away from Valentine's Day. You talked about you had an ex this is a good idea. If you're in not in, you seem to be in good good speaking terms with your ex. If you're not in good speaking terms with your ex, here's something that you could jump on. The Birmingham, Alabama Zoo. You can check out the website, birminghamzoo.com. They're offering a way to vent over a past relationship for Valentine's Day. $20, and they will name a Madagascar hissing cockroach in your ex's honor.
Do they feed those cockroaches to things?
I want to know what they feed the cockroaches, first of all.
Yeah.
That's even a great.
That would be better.
Like, yeah, name my cockroach, you know, my ex's name, and then feed it to a cat or something, or a one-eyed
lizard or something.
A one-eyed lizard. I love it. That's fantastic. They're doing this through Valentine's Day. It's their Valentine's fundraiser. Now, what you get as a donor, you'll each receive a digital certificate naming and a cockroach fact sheet.
So they know that you did it. That's even worse. That's worse or better.
Right. Yeah. So you can, not only can you name your ex or name a cockroach after your ex, they'll send you a digital certificate for you to put it on social media.
That's nice.
Talk about a slam book. it's going through February 12th, but you can get your donation in. Again, the website is birminghamzoo.com. I will say Valentine's is one of those, like, I can see going forward not celebrating Valentine's anymore.
Really?
I think it's terrible. It's a scam. I think every day should be Valentine's Day. In fact, I wrote a song once called Every Day's a Holiday. If you really love somebody, why do you have to wait till February to treat them well and spoil them?
That's valid. But I think, right? I think in my past, I've always celebrated Valentine's Day because I have 3 kids born in November.
Oh.
So I think I, like, fell for everything for Valentine's.
What does the November birthday have to do with?
9 months from Valentine's Day. So, yeah. Have you ever seen him go red? He's starting to go a little red.
No, I just... I love this.
Yeah.
I love this. We should explore this more. You have 3 kids...
In 1 week.
And when's your birthday?
December.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough. Hey, you know, I mean, who's to judge if you're...
Yeah.
You know, going, I'm
but,
not going to go.
But
there.
Maybe no. Guys need to be reminded that it's nice to do something. So I think Valentine's Day is more for men than women, because they need a reminder. Oh, I should tell her I love her. Oh, I should buy her flowers. Oh, I should.
Would you say Valentine's is in your top 5 favorite holidays?
No.
No.
Well,
November apparently is. But whatever. Give me your top favorite holidays. We just came out of the holidays.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people are in kind of that fog and that haze.
I like Christmas. I like Thanksgiving because you get to get together with everyone.
Yep.
I love the 4th of July.
Those are your 3?
Yeah, my top 3.
Top 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like, here's my top 3. 4th of July is number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Can I count my birthday?
Oh, that's a little bit.
Is it a
bit.
Holiday? I mean.
Maybe.
Just seriously. I think, let's see, 4th of July is right up there. I like New Year's.
Okay.
But it's kind of one of those, I'm going to say 4th of July, Christmas number 2, Thanksgiving's my number 1.
Oh.
Favorite. Because you are hardwired, forced, unless you're working at certain places, you get 4 days off.
That's true.
You know, it's hardwired. You get a ton of great food. You've got a great, I mean, no matter when, what year it is, it's always the same time. You can plan, okay, Wednesday at noon, we're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hang with family. We're going to, you know, we're going to go on vacation, whatever it is. You know you're getting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all of it off. And I love it. And you can
That's
just.
Great reasoning. I like that.
There's been years I spent 3 days in pajamas and never wore actual pants. Well, let me say that. I wore pajama pants. I don't want it to sound like I'm not wearing pants. What is going on here? Mel, this has gone downhill in a hurry.
So sorry.
Good
so sorry.
Grief.
Good gravy.
I'm telling you, let me give you that website, birminghamzoo.com, $20.
Mm.
And you can, You can get your ex's name named after a cockroach, and I love it.
So another passive-aggressive thing.
Oh, 100%, and I'm all about
it. No, there's another
one
you can do.
Oh, okay.
So my daughter actually did this, but then she accidentally put her email somewhere, so she got caught. But she got her ex's email address and signed him up for a whole bunch of things. And then he got slammed with all of the junk email.
That is awesome. My girlfriend has just got her account hacked and has been deleting spam emails for months and months and months, and gets 100 of them, 300 of them a day.
That's terrible.
And it is. It's
murder on your time.
It is, because you just gotta. The good news is with Gmail, they have an unsubscribe button that you can go and hit, and that makes it quick and easy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Pivoting, earlier this week, we had this news that Utah, the Board of Education, the State Board of Education, has banned Wicked in schools.
Really?
And now everybody's up in arms, and the national media is flipping out. Oh, it's in the theaters, though. It's rated PG or PG-13 or whatever. What are you doing? You've watched them. Have you ever read the novel?
No.
Neither have I. Partially because I can't read. Just kidding. but mostly, I'm always like path of least resistance guy. If I can go see a movie for the most part, I like to go do that instead of reading the book, unless I've read the book first. But I did some digging into this, and the Wicked novel is incredibly spicy.
I didn't know that.
It's way more, I don't say inappropriate, but certainly inappropriate for schools.
Children, yeah.
Yeah. To have kids in schools, in libraries, easily accessible to any kid. There's no way you can have in a public library, you'd be like, this is the adult section, whatever. You got your moms over there sneaking over there with their sunglasses and hat pulled low.
Right.
We know what you're doing, Janet! We know what you're reading, but you can't really do this in schools. Anyway, the ACLU filed a federal lawsuit against the State Board of Education against these bans. There's been a couple of them that they've banned this week. The perks of being a wallflower.
Really?
Yeah,
my kids have read that. I didn't know that was a bad book.
Well, there's a reason.
Oh, no. I'm going to read it now. Better. I have it at our house. See what's wrong with it.
Mella will not be here next Friday. She's going to be busy reading. It brings the Utah's 2024 book removal total. So they passed this law in 2024. If three school districts ban them, the whole state has to ban it.
Really?
That's the state law, yeah. 22 titles have been placed under the sensitive materials law, is what they're calling it, which is what now Mormon housewives know where to go read. That's what they're, okay. Isn't this what Mello does? Like, oh, well, I want to make sure my kids don't read those.
I just want to know what's bad about it not because I want to read a bad book.
I know what you're going to be doing. You're going to be hot tubbing. You're gonna be reading Wicked and the Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Right.
This weekend, 19 Minutes also was banned this week, along with Wicked. But apparently, these books, sometimes the movies come out and they tone them way down.
Mm.
But you crack open that book, you better crack open a window. No,
yeah, like Twilight,
right? Spicy. A little spicy. I'd love to hear what you guys think in the last couple of minutes. 435-261-4540. I'm going to go skiing this weekend. I bought my ski pass.
Oh.
I'm going to go skiing tomorrow.
How fun.
You a skier?
I went once and it was very terrible of experience. I won't go again.
There is something beautiful about Southern Utah. If you time it right, and I think I can do it tomorrow, you can ski in the morning and then golf in the afternoon. You can drive to Brian Head, you get up early, you get up there right as the lifts open, you can ski a half day at Brian Head, and then you can come and golf in the afternoon. I've done it several times. My girlfriend and I did it. My son and I have done it. We go ski a half day, you pay a half a day, and then you come home and you change and you go hit the ledges and go knock it around. It's
those are bragging rights.
Fabulous.
If you can do that.
Fabulous. Let's see. I picked a great day to start listening again was in Maui for a couple of weeks. It's good to hear Dale and Mello today.
Aww. Oh, nice. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be here every Friday, whether you like it or not. We'll see how that goes. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. I usually have my, I got too close to the top of the hour. I don't have my closing time song. KDXU News Time is 9:59. I'm Dale. That's Mello. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you on Monday.